Welcome to the Suffolk Babies podcast. So last week we talked about the mother's mental load, the concept that for many of us as mum, we tend to be the one who juggles the majority of our home's to-do list, and therefore are the ones whose brains are full of 101 different thought streams and tasks to complete, which can be a real cause of stress and anxiety. This week, we're going to follow this up with a chat about modern parenting mental health and have an interesting discussion about what things can influence and create stress in our lives, both before we have a baby and then when we become a parent, which in turn can have an impact on our mental health. And we can start this discussion, can't we, Joe, with an introduction to some widely identified fundamental human needs that are considered essential to be met in order for you to reduce your stress levels and manage them accordingly for positive mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. This is sort of some pillars, if you like, of health, both physical and mental health, that I was chatting about with Suffolk Mind, you know, another charity who support mental health in Suffolk. And this is, they feel the key to leading a happy, healthy life is to meet these 12, or make sure these 12 pillars are met.
So let's go through these needs, shall we, and just make sure everyone's aware of kind of what they are. So then, because then I think it helps us then to break it down and analyse why these become difficult to meet once we have a baby or more than one child as part of our family units.
So our physical ones are sleep, exercise and food. And they're the three key things that you need to maintain your physical health. To maintain our mental health, we need connection, attention, community, status and respect, security, control, privacy, achievement and meaning and purpose. And when these needs aren't met, it contributes towards our physical and mental stress. And too much stress eventually makes us feel depressed. But as you just said, it's very difficult sometimes to make sure that you are having these 12 pillars are met and are stable in the new days of parenthood.
So in terms of the physical needs, Joe, let's just have a look through those.
So the physical needs are kind of the easiest ones, I think. So there are three key physical needs: sleep, emotive topic when you've got a new baby or any child actually. Two is exercise and three is food. So as long as we have those three things, then, you know, we're going to be relatively healthy and stress is not going to build up. But again, you know, in the new days of parenthood, it's very, very difficult to get consistent sleep, isn't it? And actually exercise and food equally difficult, really. And I know I often joke about, you know, don't worry, just eat a load of cake and you're going to feel much better. But actually, we both know that if you're having constant sugar crashes, it makes you feel rubbish. So you do need to focus on getting some good stuff in as well, so that you've got that consistent energy release. Those three things really are the foundation, if you like, I think, of being able to cope and not getting super stressed out in those first weeks.
But I think those three things as well, like you said, actually, as physical needs, they may be a little bit easier to try and plan for and adjust our expectations about. Because let's be honest, if we really think about what having a baby will bring, you know, that phrase sleep like a baby is totally the opposite of what actually happens, isn't it? We know no one wants to sleep like a baby because babies don't actually sleep. They're not able to sleep in huge chunks and huge blocks. If we then look at exercise as well, let's have a think about how we plan for the lack of time that we might have and what sort of exercise actually would still enable you to get that fresh air in your lungs or get your body moving, etc. It doesn't have to be that you need to set aside half an hour for like proper exercise time. Just taking your baby out for a walk in their pram or in their sling is still going to constitute exercise. And again, with the food, let's just think about actually you don't need to go without food. Maybe we just need to plan a little bit better about what food is going to be easy for you to eat when you do have a baby or children running around, or whether you can meal prep in advance so that you've got a load of things in your freezer or already prepped that you can just get out once baby is here, or, you know, when you've got all the kids around. I know for me, I find it difficult finding time to eat myself, but then I actually now just think, well, we're all going to eat the same same thing. So then I'll just eat what my children are eating. Or I make sure, which I know you do, Joe, as well, that on a Sunday, it's my break too. I spend an hour and I batch cook a load of things and I put them in the freezer. And then I know exactly what's there for the rest of the week. So I think maybe with those physical needs, we can think about if you're in your pregnancy stage right now, it might be an idea to think about, okay, well, how do I plan for these changes in these physical needs? How do I plan for them? And therefore, how can I adapt my current life to make sure that I don't compromise these needs and it's not such a shock to me as maybe it otherwise could be?
Absolutely, Mel. I do think that with the physical needs, you can plan the solutions in. You know, they are the easier ones. You know, it's still not easy, but they are without a doubt the easier ones to make sure that you can meet those needs. Mm-hmm. I think it's the mental ones that are the trickier with young children generally. I mean, young children that need you a lot of the time. And I think so, a lot of the time, your own mental needs of all the needs that you need to meet to maintain your mental health are compromised, and it can be very, very difficult to find a solution to those compromises. And there's definitely not, you know, we can't sit here today and give everybody the solutions to the next nine of these key pillars, because it's going to be very difficult to find them, and very personalized as well for every family unit.
I think the reason it's so difficult as well, though, is because we're all aware of our physical needs. Like, we all know when we're tired, we all know when we're hungry, and we all know when we're feeling like sluggish and lethargic and sort of need a physical boost of energy. But it's very difficult sometimes for us all to pinpoint what actually is causing us mental distress. It's very hard to know exactly kind of what are the triggers of, you know, mental stress. And I think that's why it's so difficult to then deal with some of these nine mental pillars, because it's very hard for us to take an internal view and actually for us to have the personal insight to go, oh, well, I know why I'm feeling a bit down. It's because I've lost my control. You know, it's really hard to do that, isn't it? Especially because we're probably actually not even aware that these exist. So let's run through these nine mental pillars.
So I think you're absolutely right. And I think also we'll see in a second, they do all overlap as well. So it won't be that every single, you know, one in particular is compromised. It will be a number of factors. So the nine key things that we need to think about to maintain our mental health, to, you know, decrease our stress levels, maintain our mental health, and make sure that we don't slip into depression, are things like, the first really important one is connection with the key people in your life, whether that is your baby, your child, your partner, your wider family circle. It's having that connection with the people who are really, really close to you and feeling understood, and attention from those people as well. So common, isn't it, when we have a new baby? I think this one is particularly for the partners out there. Actually, you go from having had all of your, you know, wife's or the mother's attention throughout the whole course of your relationship, and suddenly that new baby gets everybody's attention. For mums too, actually, you know, you everyone comes to visit and wants to put their attention onto the baby. No one asks you how you are. So you do need attention from people as well, to be seen, to be heard.
Yeah, and also with partners, with your, in your relationship too, your relationship does tend to naturally take a back seat, doesn't it? And you're each other giving your attention to the baby, especially if they're in that newborn stage and you're still trying to figure it out. And so it's quite a stressful environment because neither of you know what the solution is to help, you know, stop whether they've got colic or whether they're constantly crying or whether you're missing their feeding cues or they're overstimulated. Neither of you are really quite sure what the problem is, and so all your attention is focused on trying to solve the baby's problems, but you actually then don't give each other the attention and the connection that you both need from each other. And I know I've been guilty of this, and my husband and I certainly had this happen to us when our first baby arrived. We sort of lost the connection, and instead of being the person that we each went to kind of talk about the worries, we sort of avoided it because we were both really stressed with the situation, and we stopped being that go-to support person for each other for a while, and it makes it tough.
Yeah, it absolutely does, you know, make it tough. And I think that you have that throughout childhood. I know my children are a bit older now, but I would say that still happens on occasion now. You know, there are times when you're really struggling, especially with, you know, things like the homeschooling at the moment. You're really, really frustrated because of things that, you know, like are happening and your interactions with the child. And you often then talk to other women about it, don't you? Rather than your partner, who might have a, you know, and so you do lose. And then your partner feels that, you know, you should have come to me. Why did you not, like, like look for that connection with me to discuss this. And so it is hard to get that balance. Ones that are really, really important, and I think a lot of people are feeling from now, is that we do need to be part of this wider community. Humans are social mammals, you know, we are meant to live in groups, and it's hard at the moment with lockdown. But also, even if we weren't in lockdown, when you have a new baby, the community around you changes. So whether you are locked down or not, you go from being, you know, often very much involved in a community with your work colleagues, with your friends who maybe don't have children if it's the first baby, to suddenly entering a brand new community made up of other mums that you aren't, you know, hugely established in. And other things that we need are status and respect within that community. You know, what is our status? Do other people respect us and our opinions? What's our place, our individual place? So whether we're locked down or not, your community status and respect is all affected when you have a new baby. And that has an effect on another factor that leads to stress in our lives, which is our feelings of security. So if we don't know where we fit into this brand new community, it really makes us feel insecure. And maybe we're also feeling insecure because of the lack of attention and connection from our partners. So you can see it's like all of this stuff is being thrown up in the air. Mm. And that makes us feel like we're losing control, which is another really big factor of how stressed out we feel with a new baby. And particularly because you can't control a new baby or any child, actually. You know, they do not come with a set of instructions. Despite what all the baby books might tell you, there is no way that you can, you know, have a sense of control. Your baby is going to do something different every single day because that's how humans work. We do too, don't we? Mm. No 2 days for us are the same. Why would a baby be any different?
No.
And I think all of those memes out there as well are often based on control, aren't they? Mm. You know, we're used to having very basic control over our lives, where we get up in the morning, decide to get in our car and nip out to a shop. And with a baby, you know, there's that always those cartoons, isn't there, of mum like pre-kids, handbag, lipstick on, looking fantastic. And then post-baby, where you're there with like 8 bags, hair all over the place, pajama bottoms, slippers, you know, you're just going to get out the door because you need to buy that pint of milk. So it's, you know, we lose even the most basic elements of control over our lives, like when we're going to have a shower. And what's hilarious, Mel, is that you here with the younger children have showered this morning and I'm here in my pajama bottoms while we record this podcast. So, you know, these things, we do lose that control. And I think it's about the acceptance of thinking I'm just going to roll with it, because otherwise it could drive you crazy if you carry on holding on with your fingernails.
Yeah. And again, I think we really underestimate that we will lose that sense of control, or that pre-baby life. We never, I don't think anyone ever prepares you or can ever prepare you for actually how much your life will change. And that's why we keep harping on about it, Jo, and keep trying to just give everyone a little bit of insight so that we can help people just to readjust and have some form of acknowledgement and acceptance of the change that might come, so that it doesn't come as such a shock to people when the baby does arrive. And as you quite rightly said earlier to me, that's why maybe having a second, third, fourth child then isn't so difficult, because you've actually adjusted already to this. Don't forget, everyone, we do have a whole podcast on the acceptance of parenthood if you want to listen to that. Otherwise we'll start rambling on about that one in this podcast and go off on another tangent. But it's a really difficult adjustment to make, and control is one that we probably actually don't think, oh, I've lost control of my life, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it is. And on top of that loss of control, you lose all your privacy, which is another basic need.
Yes.
Isn't it? So yeah, we've all been there, where we're all like, I can remember locking myself in the loo, you know, and like fingertips like appearing underneath the door, just because I was like, you know, I just want 2 minutes, don't even need to go, I just want 2 minutes on my own, not holding somebody. But you know, with young children, you are literally, you're there, you're sitting on the loo, there's everyone standing there looking at you. Yeah, the dog's there too. It's just sort of like, honestly, please. So but you do lose, you know, you do lose that element of privacy, and that goes, that's a stream that runs through parenthood all the time. There's always somebody who needs you. You lose any form of solitude. And I had this last weekend. I was having a really stressful weekend with the kids, trying to get work done as well as everything else that I normally do. And my partner came in and the kitchen, and I was just sort of like, look, I just need to speak to you for like 5 minutes. And one child arrived and I was like, out. I need 5 minutes just with somebody's full attention and the privacy to have a discussion without any other little ears listening. So it goes from having a baby who's physically attached to you 24/7, you know, and to the point where they're growing up where they're still, you know, that you still don't have that privacy because mentally you're still giving, you know, what you, in terms of time, what you were giving when they were physically, you know, holding on to you. Yeah. So yeah, privacy is a big one, I think, for all parents.
Yeah, definitely. And again, one that we probably wouldn't have acknowledged or wouldn't have thought as being a factor that can create mental stress.
Yeah, but it's you need that. You need that time. You do need that little bit of time on your own. I think the final two that are utterly interlinked and I think are a really big stream from what I see when I'm chatting to parents every day is, as modern parents, we are used to achieving. And we are, from the very word, you know, the word go, throughout our education, we are used to having a set of instructions. Do that, you know, go to this class, do this work, you know, put this revision in, you will achieve this goal. You then start your job, like do this work, work your way up the ranks. You know, you will get to that post. You will get your company car. You will get the pay that you're looking for. You will achieve these goals in life. You will be able to follow that career path. So achievement is really important to our sense of self-esteem and our mental health. And it's linked with the final kind of key pillar of feeling good about yourself, which is having a meaning and having a purpose. You know, it's sort of like, and for me, I know this is a really big one. It's like I have days where I am tired, but I get up and I'm like, no, I know I need to go and teach that class and I need to do this because actually it's benefiting my community as a whole and it gives me that sense of purpose. It's really important to me to have that purpose. So what happens to those two interlinking things when you have a new baby? Mm. You know, you can't follow an instruction manual to look after your baby perfectly. So you're not going to get to the end of a day and go, yeah, my baby's done X, Y, and Z. I've achieved that as a mum, gold tick, you know, gold star to me. I've done that. And that affects this sense of meaning and purpose. If you feel like your every day is different, your life isn't, your baby's not doing what you expected it to do. You know, maybe your baby's got a tongue tie and it's affecting your ability to breastfeed them the way that you wanted to do. That affects, you know, that your achievement as a mother, and your purpose as a mother, you know, when you have those early issues in feeding or anything else, you know, that toddler who's tantruming on the floor and you don't know why, you know, you've followed all the advice and you're like, why is this happening again? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what have I done wrong to lead? And it's like nothing. It's just unbelievably hard, but it affects our mental health. Those elements of not being able to achieve the way we're used to pre-children.
Yeah. And modern mothering, I'm going to kind of term it in this instance, is also difficult because, again, you see all these memes on social media about how, you know, as modern women, we're so used to still having it all, having our careers and having our home and having all those elements that make us feel like we are achieving. And then so for some of us, adapting to just, I say just, but obviously it's a huge job, but for many people, just being a mum is really difficult to find that sense of achievement in parenting, when actually you should be celebrating it as one of the biggest jobs you've ever had. And so every day is achieving. You know, we've said this before, haven't we, Jo? If everyone goes to bed and they're healthy and happy and can, you know, and have had a good day, whether that's full of ups and downs, but have generally had a good day, then you have succeeded and you have achieved and you have really actually excelled in your job. But it's very difficult for us as modern women to kind of see that as being achievement. People really struggle with it.
They absolutely do. And what doesn't help with this, Mel, is for the last, you know, probably 100 years, there has been an utter focus on what is termed as scientific parenting. And this is, you know, were the things that, you know, first start being written about by, you know, Benjamin Spock in 1900 and treatment about, you know, your baby should sleep for X number of hours per day. Your baby should be feeding in these intervals. You shouldn't hold your baby too much. They need time on their own to learn how to self-soothe. And it's and so these ideas start coming about in the early 1900s. They're prevalent throughout the whole of the last century, and then you've got the joys of Gina Ford in the 90s, who repackages them and starts them all over again. You know, that this is the contented baby book, this is follow this and you will have that contented baby, and it's all down to following this set of instructions, which actually, how much does that appeal to us as modern parents who want to achieve at parenting? Absolutely ticks all our boxes, but nonetheless, it actually doesn't work. And so that utterly affects, so it totally deflates us and destroys our sense of meaning and purpose, because we can't achieve, you know, this, these ideals that these authors are putting in front of us as the solutions. We do have this culture of thinking, follow these steps and you'll get the answer, whereas parenting is a far more organic, messy process where it's, you know, there's no right or wrong answers. It's consistence, trial and error, isn't it? It's consistent trial and error until you find the right solutions for your baby and your family. And it's a constant case of right, try that, adapt, try that, adapt, try that, adapt. And eventually you find what works for you.
Yeah. So we've got these nine areas of mental pillars, mental needs, these three areas of physical needs that we need to try and kind of address. But surely, Joe, when we're talking about trying to address these needs as parents, instead of thinking that they all need to be 100%, maybe the way that we cope and try and reduce that, the stress that is created when some of these needs aren't met, is to try and just get a little bit of balance between them all. Don't try and fill the cup of all of these needs. So not all of them need to be 100% all of the time, but try and get some balance between them. And more than anything is also getting some acknowledgement about all these different areas of your life where maybe you need to turn your attention and give some focus that you may not previously have been aware of, like we said in the beginning. So if you're more aware of these areas of needs that might affect your mental health, then at least you can try and rectify some of the, you know, the disparities and kind of levels between them, I guess.
Yeah, and I think also just being able to recognise them and go, I'm feeling like this today because, and, you know, and I think that's really important as well, because I think sometimes when you are feeling low or when you are very, very stressed out, just recognising why that feeling has occurred is really, really important, because otherwise it can feel like a really slippery slope where, you know, your mood is just descending into this dark, dark place and nothing ever feels like it's getting an awful lot better, and there's nothing, there's no hope on the horizon. And that is a very intimidating and frightening place to be as well as a parent. And so I think if we can try sometimes and pull it back and go, yeah, today's been really bad, but it was because I didn't feel secure in my relationship with my partner and we didn't connect on this level, and actually that's what was really causing me to feel so unhappy. So, you know, you then we can do something about that. It might not be, you know, that you can sit down and talk it, because you're both so knackered, you might not be able to sit down and talk it through until you reach resolution, but at least acknowledge it with one another and go, today we didn't connect, you know, and it made us both feel rubbish. We need to kind of, let's try harder, let's try tomorrow. So it's, you know, I think just recognizing it and just saying, right, today was bad, but tomorrow could be better.
Yeah, but like you said, also being able to then talk about it, it not being a taboo subject, it not being something that you can't raise with your partner or with a friend or with a family member, or indeed with us at Suffolk Babies or within your Suffolk community. It should be something that we can all openly talk about and all openly admit to having down days because of one of these areas of needs hasn't been met, so that it becomes the norm to talk about these areas. Because we know that guaranteed, if you're feeling this way, there'll be someone else that's feeling exactly the same way for exactly the same reason.
Exactly. And I think also knowing that it's okay to be affected by all of these things. That, you know, it's just like you said, like, there are other people, everyone at some point in early parenting is going to have days that feel dark because these needs are not met. It's not because you are not a good mum. It's not because you're not doing it right. It's not because your relationship's just not where it should be. you know, it's every single person out there is affected by these things, whether, you know, it's kind of publicly flagged or not. It's, and I think in this social media world where everything is perfect, or, you know, you kind of, or even, you know, the it's not just advertisers being perfect on social media, is it? It's people often, you know, have a bit of a laugh about how bad everything is as well. But I just think sometimes that negative mindset doesn't really help if you're feeling a bit low either. It's let's just accept that all of these things play a role in how we feel and our overall happiness and health. And if we can acknowledge them, then we can work with them.
And let's also know and cut ourselves some slack that you will have good days and you will have bad days, and you will have days where you feel like everything's gone the way you wanted it to, and you'll have days where you think nothing's gone the way you wanted it to or the way you've planned it out. You'll have days where you'll feel super productive, you're really winning at life, and you'll have days where you feel like you've just done nothing, and that's okay. And that doesn't make you any less or any more of a parent. You know, we all just make it through the day to day, if we're really honest, don't we? And that's enough.
We absolutely do, and it is enough. And I think the other thing that we should think about is that everyone with a brand new baby wants to get back to normal, wants to get back to how things were before, and that's not going to happen. It's about, you know, kind of moving on and finding your normal with kids in your life, and these things will always be playing a factor in it. It doesn't matter how old your children are, whether they're tiny little babies or whether, like me, your youngest is 9 years old, you will still be affected by all of the same factors. You might get better at managing them with experience, as we do with everything, but you will still have days where everything feels a little bit out of balance.
Yeah, 100%. So let's just, for the purposes of repetition, and therefore getting it into our brains, let's just repeat, Joe, these pillars of needs, both physical and mental, so everyone can leave the podcast with a real clear vision of what they are.
So our physical ones are sleep, exercise, and food. And they're the three key things that you need to maintain your physical health. To maintain our mental health, we need connection, attention, community, status and respect, security, control, privacy, achievement, and meaning and purpose. And when these needs aren't met, it contributes towards our physical and mental stress. And too much stress eventually makes us feel depressed. And that's the key thing to remember. So it's not that depression is something that, you know, is randomly affects some people. Depression can happen to anyone. And I think that's the other thing that I think we need to be really, really clear about. Lots of people kind of feel there's some stigma attached to postnatal depression or depression as a whole. And that's utter rubbish, because depression can happen to absolutely anybody when these things are out of balance. And it is completely rational, you know, response to, you know, being under a lot of pressure in life.
And it also extremely common, if we really look at those pillars, as we said in the beginning, for all of us as parents, these will all be out of whack at some stage. So it's normal for us all to feel stressed and maybe a little bit down, even depressed.
Absolutely. I think it absolutely is. And I think that, you know, if you do find yourself where you are living in a situation where stress is unmanageable, or you feel it is becoming more to the point where you are experiencing, you know, sort of levels of clinical depression, there are so many different ways of treating it. It's not necessarily about you having to sit down and make this list of your needs and then thinking, oh, right, now I've just got to, you know, get a bit more privacy in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that isn't enough, but there's definitely support services out there. And so first port of call is always have a chat with your GP. And they can make you aware of all of the different support services that there are. It doesn't mean that you have to take antidepressants. There are so many different ways of treating depression. And even if you don't feel you're clinically depressed, maybe you just feel that you're stressed. Talk to your GP, talk to us. So we can help you get in touch with all of the different support organisations. So, but the biggest thing is, don't suffer alone. Because what you need to reduce your stress, you need to be part of a community.
100%. Thank you, everyone. We hope that, again, this has been an informative and interesting podcast. As Joe said, if you do need to talk to anyone, then please do get in touch with us. We're more than happy to help you and point you in the right direction. if you need further support. But if you just want to rant, then definitely use Suffolk Babies and our Suffolk Babies community, because we are all going through the same thing and we can all empathise and understand and support each other. Take care, everyone, and we'll speak to you all again very soon.